All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk covering every team in the NHL. New episodes every Monday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the In the Dome
podcast.
Remember when this team was uncoachable and it didn't matter who was behind the bench? Didn't matter. Coaching didn't matter at all. It was this group never win ever.
Never gonna win. Never.
It had nothing to do with Jeff Ward. Come on. It was these players. Johnny Gaudreau, the guy's useless, put him in the fucking press box. That was the next move. Remember?
You haven't tried everything. You haven't tried scratching him, you know?
Well, they've had six coaches. Yeah, they've all been amateurs. All of them. And look at what a difference coaching makes. And Daryl Sutter came into a shit show of a situation last season. It took a lot longer to turn around than we had hoped for. Five games too long. Otherwise, you probably could have made the playoffs. The team that went to the finals, you could have been there instead of them, potentially. But Sutter has a chance. And look, he ended the season on this note saying, these guys will be prepared for training camp. Johnny Gaudreau leaves the season saying, yeah, well, you know, we actually have a date for training camp, so that's new.
I have a plan for my training, and I have to start on a certain date.
Yeah, that's never happened before. The team actually looks good to start games? You haven't seen that since 1819. 2 years of not knowing if they'll show up, period, and not knowing when they'll show up. This team has looked great. Their first periods have been outstanding, have they not? Their first periods are the new third periods.
Dude, how much? What they outscored, like, even tonight, and between Washington and tonight, like seven goals in the first period. I'll take that. Thank you.
they got to fix their second period. But hey, they're learning how to play with the lead. Sutter, after the Washington Capitals game, says it's a process for a lot of these guys to learn how to play the right way.
Yeah, and he was even talking about that after tonight, saying that's what they're learning. They're learning to play the right way, is what he said again.
That is what I want to hear when you're winning games. Yeah. Not, oh, yeah, keep perspective, man. Like, you know, sure, we lost five in a row, but we just beat the best team in the division twice when Toronto outchanced you like 72-14. And you somehow, because David Rittich played like a god under Jeff Ward last season.
Well, just trust the process. We've been using the same process for a year and a half. And
Jeff,
we don't need to improve the process. We just need to trust it.
Jeff, is this the process that you are always referring to?
No, that's it. Bingo.
So is it, I don't want to say it's safe to say the season's turned around.
Totally. Keep perspective. It's totally turned around, baby.
This is what I want to hear your coach saying after you win four straight. Still got a lot of things to work on. There's still a lot of process ironing out things these guys need to do. They haven't figured it out yet. Yeah, that's what I want to hear.
Exactly. You want to hear, we're working on it while you're winning games. They're not perfect by any means. You're winning games. And you're winning them in a sustainable fashion.
Yes, right?
Which is
come
nice.
On. Biggest difference. Sure, maybe not leading for, what are we at now? We've led for how many hours?
156 minutes.
Maybe we won't be leading. Maybe that's not sustainable. Maintain a lead for the rest of the season. But the way that they're playing, I don't have the offensive metrics, but it looks like I got this off Twitter. New Jersey posted the defensive metrics before the game started tonight. The Flames hot defense metrics. Here's some of the categories that the Flames find themselves top five in the league in. In slot passes against, they're fifth in the league. In rebound chances against, they're fifth in the league. In dump-in recoveries with exit, meaning the D-man goes, and instead of standing behind the fucking net, waiting.
Jeff Ward's going to haunt you forever.
Waiting for everybody, your team, the other team, everyone. Waiting for the fucking fans that are getting their seats. Waiting. No.
Running in to see you with his beer. We got to make sure before we break out. Let's go.
You break the puck out. You don't wait. Dump in recoveries with exit. Fourth in the league. Rush chances against. Just picture the last two seasons. How many? Dude, last season?
This was a huge, huge problem last year. Like, even the year before, I remember they were near the, like, 29th or 30th the year before. In rush chances against, and last year definitely near the bottom of the league. They couldn't defend worth shit off the rush. Like you saw like McDavid and the Jets take teams who are really speedy and have a lot of skill up front exploit this to an insane degree last season.
Just like think back to last season. How many fucking odd man rushes? How many rush chances were first? The Flames are first in the league ranked at allowing rush chances.
Have you even seen two? I've missed a little bit of the last two games, early starts. I don't get home till later. But have you even seen like an odd man rush this year against like a 2-on-1?
Not that I can think of. Maybe like there
was overtime one against Anaheim. Maybe there's a couple against Anaheim.
Was the Ovechkin goal considered 2-on-1?
I guess maybe.
But so how do you like those metrics? How would you like to see that? This is, you know what's funny? You come out of 18-19 and say, yeah, you know what? You saw what happened. I still cannot. I'm still blown. I probably will never stop talking about this. Sorry if you're sick of hearing it. The following season, once Ward officially replaces Peters, he's talking about the 18-19 season like it was a complete failure. You finished first in the West. The amount of records that this franchise and individual players made that season was unbelievable. It's like every three games, like, oh shit, they set a new record. Oh, now another record. Yet the following season, when Ward takes over, yeah, you saw what happened. You saw what happened when we tried to be a scoring team. No, you didn't try. You were. Okay. So now what? You're going to focus on defense? Oh, let me get this straight. Sean Monahan and Johnny Gaudreau, they're going to be getting all the D-zone starts now?
You know it.
This is when the fall of Sean Monahan started. So, sure, there was injuries to add on to this, but there's definitely more going on to why Sean Monahan's career has completely fizzled out. But I bring it up again because it's funny how Jeff Ward could never do what Darryl Sutter is doing now. Could never do it.
Well, and I think that's what we were... For all the shit we get about like making fun of the Gudbranson signing, the one thing we were happy about with Tree Living's acquisitions this offseason were that they were for the purpose of building a team who was actually good at defense. Yeah. You bring in a coach, instead of just saying you want to play defense and bring in a guy who doesn't know what the hell he's doing, you bring in a coach who knows what he's doing and you bring in the personnel to support a system that is strong defensively. And that's what you've seen through six games.
I don't want to get ahead of ourselves because, look, four games is dick all.
Yeah.
It's literally dick all. And all this means absolutely nothing unless you continue to build on it. Because if you just lose this ability to play this style of hockey that gives you these types of results, you lose that ability, and now you're back to, you know, up and down about below the 500 line, then none of this fucking matters at all. So we don't want to get too ahead of ourselves, but like we said after game one, the way that these guys played against the Oilers, you'll take that all day long. Sure, they lose the special teams battle, but 5-on-5, they dominated. You're going to take that loss. Game two comes around, more of the same against the Ducks, yet because of our PSD, we're still very, very concerned. Can this team actually hold a lead? We don't know. They haven't been able to do it for two seasons. What leads you to think they can now? You're starting to see it each game that they have this lead. They're better at playing with it. Have you not noticed that? They're just incrementally getting better and better with it. That's where Darryl Sutter's talking about this process.
Well, yeah, and you can kind of track it. Like you said, you can track it in real time. So you beat Detroit 3-0, but that second period was horrendous. And like we talked about, if that's Edmonton, you lose that game, right? So we were like, okay, this is all fine and good, but like that's the Oilers, you lose. Washington, talk about PTSD, 3-0. Oh, man, woohoo, we're rolling. And then they blow it in the second again. But then in the third period, like they did against Detroit, they shut it down. They shut it down really hard. And
because Washington even ties the game.
Yeah. And so outside of a 12 to 15 minute major lapse, which is better than a 20 minute lapse, which you had against Detroit, you played a pretty good game. Then against the Rangers, right? Same kind of thing. Great. I thought they played really great in the first period. Excellent first period. Pretty good first 5 minutes of the second. Same thing. Started to get away from them, but then they locked it the shit down. You kind of saw something a little similar tonight. So we've seen incremental improvement in this, like, letting the game get away from you aspect.
They threw this up there at the start of the game. It ends the same way. This team, the Calgary Flames, have not trailed since the season opener against the Oilers. They have not trailed. Because even when they lost to the Ducks, they lost in overtime. They
blew it.
They have not trailed. It's funny because... What we're laughing about this, you sent me the text and say, remember at this time last year, it was the exact opposite under Jeff Ward.
Yeah. I remember this specifically being a thing and we talked about it and I was way too lazy to go find it, but it was literally like for the first 10 games, the Flames had led for like less than 10 minutes of the entire season. I'm like, that's totally true.
Yeah. They were trailing.
It was unbelievable.
It was the exact same stat flipped, reversed. And you're getting some pretty phenomenal individual performances here. We're going to break that down today. We got three games to get to, but I'm chalking 99% of this under coaching.
Absolutely.
Because look at the preparation for each game, the beginning of each first period, and the season as a whole. And man, if these guys are starting to click now and they can continue to build, this team will have success this season.
Well, yeah. And it's like I said, they're playing a sustainable brand of hockey where, okay, you probably don't like the lapses in the second period where they're giving up, like against the Rangers, they gave up like a ridiculous amount of high danger scoring chances in the second. But it's been very consistent. There hasn't been like this wild swing game to game like we were so used to, right? Like you were saying, you don't know when they're going to show up, like from shift to shift, from period to period, from game to game. It's been pretty consistent. The metrics have backed that up. I mean, they got eaten alive a little bit against the Rangers, like I said, in that second period. But I mean, then you look at individual players' underlying numbers, and I think like one of the biggest signs of an effective system and a coach who knows what he's doing, and a team playing as a group is that pretty much across the board, the Flames have pretty decent individual 5-on-5 metrics for like every skater. You know, from like Gudbranson to Lindholm, from Mangiapane to Lucic. It's pretty, there's Zadorov is kind of the exception in all this, but I mean, across the board, everybody is on the same page so far.
Yeah, that would mean that the team is playing well together as a unit, which is all you really want. I mean, if you look at playoff success, that's how it's done.
All I keep thinking about is if these are playoff games, like, and we'll get to the games individually, but like the Rangers game, right? Like after that goal was scored, you're like, oh shit, here we go. And then the Backlund line comes out, the Coleman line comes out and puts like two monster shifts together. Oh. Like that's the kind of shit that wins you playoff games.
100%. Now on the last podcast, we had been 1-1-1. And we straight out said, look, we're not really impressed. Obviously, you can take away a lot of things, but like I said earlier, it means dick all unless you start stringing wins together and it makes it work for you. But having said what we said, if you now we can take away the vacuum of the Oilers game because we've had a bigger sample size. We can take away the vacuum of the Anaheim game. This team has played some pretty darn good hockey since the time this season has started.
Yeah, totally. And I mean, like you said, we don't want to get like all crazy here. Wins are wins. They need wins. But I think like they'll really be, I want to see what this looks like against next time you play Edmonton. Right. Because the good thing is like, if you look at the Flames' strength of schedule, I think it is like, they actually have like one of the easiest schedules here to start the season. Like you look at who they've just played, the Rangers, the Devils, you know, Detroit, and they still don't have a really big test until like when, like maybe they play, I think they play Boston or the Islanders like in mid-November, but they don't play one of their rivals for a really long time. So there's going to be, we should know who this team is by the time they're playing the Oilers next. And that's when I'm going to be really fascinated.
Yep. I mean, look, it's early on in the season. Nobody knows who's good yet. Even teams that get off to a hot start, you still don't know.
Right? Like, has Buffalo even lost yet?
Right? I mean, I think it's safe to say the Oilers are good. They're probably the best team we've played so far. We know Washington's a good team. Those are the two best teams we've played so far. And we dominated the Oilers 5-on-5, and we beat the Washington Capitals in overtime. Played pretty good hockey game. So you have Pittsburgh coming up. It sounds like they might have Crosby back, but they're probably still a little shorthanded.
No, totally.
But that's a winnable game. So why wouldn't you sweep the road trip? I'm going to be curious to see what happens. Regardless of what happens in Pittsburgh, this is a very successful road trip. Now you go back home for a five-game homestand. To me, that's going to be really curious to see how they play because, I mean, they've not been very good at home the last two seasons.
No, and I mean, Eva, I just keep thinking back to, like, Lucic, what he said, like, after, remember, after the, like, week off they had, and they were like, oh, we, you know what?
We really couldn't turn it around after that.
Couldn't figure it out. 2 weeks. Yeah. So again, like being a Flames fan, and you know what? I don't give a shit. Like people are like, oh, you can't ever be like, you've always got to have it in the back of your mind that it's like, hey, is that bit of the Flames that like tends to dip, for lack of a better term, right? Like, let's say they're 5-1-1 heading home. Like, are they going to have a lull? You know, are they going to let that creep back in where they're like, yeah, we got this, we're totally good, and then they kind of stink for a few games and get back to that 500 level?
I think if you're asking me that question, and Jeff Ward's the coach,
yeah,
I don't feel confident one bit. But if you ask me that question, Daryl Sutter's the coach. Daryl Sutter's not going to let anybody dip.
Daryl Sutter's not let. Yeah,
no, nobody's allowed to dip. You dip, you see what happens, Zadorov.
And that's the key.
You don't play.
Exactly. Details. It's all about the specifics. It's all about details. Like we said, odd man rushes. You've seen those this year. Have you seen anyone turning the puck over like at the blue line?
Not much.
Very seldom.
They're playing very sound. And it's funny because, I mean, you run Instagram. I run Twitter. I think game, like during the game, those are two different very different platforms, yeah, right? I don't think Instagram is quite as real time interactive as Twitter is, but you're getting a temperature for the fan base essentially, and people are getting excited. I just think that probably how Daryl breaks the season down is you have to break it down in at least 10 game segments, and I think that we've played 5 games. We're 4-1-1 now after winning 4 straight. But let's just cool it until we see how the first 10 games fare out.
Yeah.
Because this is still a very small sample size. You brought up the level of competition. However, did you see that stat that they threw out? All the teams that they've played on this road trip are 2 or 3 or 4 games above 500. I think if they combined all the teams, they were like 10-2-2 combined. So they're off to a good start, which would tell you they're playing decent hockey as well. But I mean, we managed to pick apart those teams. So
we managed to pick apart weaker teams, which again, for as I'm saying, like, yeah, competition. But in the past,
right,
how many times has that been a stumbling block for the Flames? Or it's like, hey, you need to beat New Jersey. Like, there's no excuse not to. And you lose to New Jersey. Not New Jersey. That's a bad example. They always beat New Jersey. But you know what I mean? Where they lose to lesser teams.
Yeah. Well, I guess you're right. Now, if you're looking at storylines, one thing I want to bring up right now, we've seen Vladar twice. And he's won both games.
Yeah.
Everything seems to be going well. I don't want to say everything's going right because there's still a lot of aspects of their game that are left, you know, leaving much to be desired. But things are going well. I'm shocked that we've seen Vladar twice. Oh, dude,
I'm blown away.
Markstrom has started 3 games. Vladar has started 2 games. And Vladar looks good. He looks solid.
Yeah,
he looks like a solid backup.
He looks like a perfect backup. And I mean, the fact he played Washington, and I thought even though he got burned for 3 goals, nobody was – I don't put any of those goals on him. Like, the Capitals are a high-skill team. They take a lot of good shots.
That was baller of Brad to start him there, dude.
Dude, totally. You know what? And, like, that's the thing about Daryl is that, like – I know a lot of people, like, and probably, like, correctly so, he gets labeled as an old school guy. He is. But, I mean, everyone's like, oh, he's going to play Markstrom 70 games. It's like, we've seen Vladar play twice already in the first 6 games this season. So he knows that's something that is very important this year, is keeping Jacob Markstrom rested, right?
The other thing that stands out on this road trip that Sutter has done is leaving Yusuf Alamaki in the lineup.
Yes.
After the first game of the road trip where he looked like ass, and he's actually looked pretty damn good the last 2 games.
Yeah, totally.
Because if that's Jeff Ward,
who knows?
Penthouse to outhouse, baby. Everybody on Twitter was like, yeah, that's it for Yusuf. He had a good run, I guess. So I guess we won't see him for a while. But no, Sutter sticks with him. And I think he just played his best 2 games of the season.
Oh, absolutely. I thought he was very good tonight. And I mean, again, props to, like, that's the thing. Daryl doesn't give a He's like Bane, like I said in the last one. He's like, you think you're in charge, Brad, with your $4 million defenseman? And he's sitting in the press box for three games, baby.
I love how you're having all the success. We're 4-0 without Brad's prized free agent signing in the lineup. So that is very clear. And Daryl Sutter might be just that psycho that this is his point. So that everybody knows this isn't because of Brad's offseason acquisitions. This is because of the head coaching right that we're seeing from Daryl.
Well, and that's the other thing too, like outside of Zadorov, every individual player, I don't think there's anybody you can look at and be like, wow, has that player been bad? Like you said, Valimaki had a rough game against Washington, I thought. But I mean, everybody's played pretty well.
Okay, before we get into kind of the deep dive on these games and looking more micro, there's one more macro thing I want to get to, because I mentioned the whole Twitterscape during tonight's game against the Devils. When we went up 4-0, I think the collective mind space of all Twitter Flames fans was like, and probably everybody, but Instagram and everybody watching, but they're just like, what's going on? Is this for real? What's happening? I don't get this. I'm confused. And I don't know. I'm still confused. I don't know what to think. I think we opened up with our most accurate guess at what's happening is that, yes, this team is for real, but let's not get ahead of ourselves. They still have a lot of work to go. But you're seeing the foundation has been set, right? And maybe that's the bonus of we still missed the playoffs last season, but Daryl gets that bonus 20 games in before the start of this season to lay a bit of foundation so that it's you're not taking that much time to get off the ground to start the season. I think that's what we're seeing. Fuck, I don't know. What's your take on it?
Well, that's totally what we're seeing. And again, like, we're going to have to – it's not going to be 4-0 wins or 4-0 first periods all the time and being on these four-game winning streaks, because you got to remember this team is still going to struggle to score goals. Like, Lindholm, if you take away, like, three of their goals, we win probably two less games this road trip, right? Like, even Daryl said after the Washington game, he's like, I mean, we won, we played pretty good, but we can't, like, you know, is Lindholm going to score three goals every night? No, so can't be having that. So we're seeing how they're going to win games for the most part, which is...
That third line or whatever line it is yeah. Your second line. I don't know. Backlund, Coleman, and Pitlick. Holy fuck, did they start to gel tonight? Well, even they started to gel against the Rangers in that third period.
I even like they had some fantastic shifts against Washington too.
The only last point I want to make on this thing is this, where are we? We're confused, right? I think part of the reason why everybody's confused is like, we don't know who this team is. We haven't known.
Well, right. And that's the thing, right? Like, we're all waiting for it to be, because we've seen this. We haven't seen this before, but we've seen this before.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Where the this happens, they play four games, they're winning. Like, holy shit, the Flames, the other night they scored four goals in the first period, right? And then it's like, they suck for like 15 games, right? So
all we've known for the past two seasons is a Jekyll Hyde team.
As much as we say, like, the coach has this under control, there is that Jekyll and Hyde aspect that's going to be in the back of our minds for a while.
Yeah. When it was 18-19, you knew what to expect. You started to expect to win. You started to expect to see a lot of goals. If they went down, you started to expect them to come back. You kind of knew that this team, who this team was, right?
Yeah.
They were the comeback kids. Like, that was the identity. Like, they're never out of it.
Yeah, it was like 3-0 in a third period. I'd like, let's go. It's all good. And then win 5-3.
The past two seasons, how many comebacks did they have?
Dude, like, again, game six in Dallas will forever be etched in every Flames fan memory right now.
Is that when Lindholm can't clear it?
I should say the series, but game six is when they get up 3-0 in the first period, and then they score three goals, and then Numbnuts pulls Talbot.
Oh boy.
So
I coming back to this, it's like, I think what we're seeing here on more of a macro thing, because listen, it's been talked about ad nauseum in the media. We've always not loved the discussion about it, but I think what we are seeing is the actual shift in identity finally taking place. You're starting to see that. And totally. I think that's why we're sitting here as Flames fans, like, okay, well, what's happening? What is this? Who is this team?
They're turning into something else, hopefully.
And I think that's what's happening. You're starting to see a shift in identity, all due to Daryl Sutter. 100% it's all due to Daryl Sutter. Obviously, the players, they play a part. They play a role. They have to buy in, and they're doing a good job of that. But Daryl Sutter is at the helm of this shift.
Yeah, and we have to play the long game too, right? Because I was thinking about this because they mentioned this. It's like the Flames haven't they haven't won four games in a row since like two seasons ago. And it was right after the whole Bill Peters thing and Ward took over and they won seven straight. Right. So we have to see this play out over the long term and see what this looks like nearer to the playoffs, because they won seven games right after Jeff Ward took over and then sucked for a year and a half. So.
Yeah. So let's zoom out here and wait till they play 10 games, get 10 games under their belt.
Yeah.
But I wanted to throw this clip in here because this is Daryl Sutter after the Rangers game, I believe. And the identity question gets asked to him. And here's what he says.
What type of identity do you think you're building with this team?
Well, I think coming off last year, there was a couple areas that were evident. I'm not sure about the identity where we're going, but two things that were really important to her that I picked up on our team right away was, number one was conditioning, and number two was the speed of our team wasn't in a place that you could win in this league with. So I think our players did a good job this summer in terms of preparing better, and I think that we can play a little faster than we did.
All right, conditioning and speed. We talked about, look, we already knew watching this team play under Jeff Ward. Fuck, was it so painful to watch? I mean, you knew they were out of shape. You knew they were playing so slow. There was that one night Chris Versteeg, right? Hockey in Canada. It's like, here's what's wrong with this team. They don't play with any speed. Look at their breakout. They're slowing the game down. So for him to come out, identify those, the team has already adjusted. They don't look slow. Do they look slow?
No, they're, and it's not even just like team speed. It's that they are on pucks and moving the puck in all three zones when the opposition has the puck, they're on it.
Shillington's been a big part of that, man. Cool. This guy, no one moves the puck up the ice as quick as this guy does. He's been unbelievable.
Yeah, he's been great. Him and Tanev have like great pairing.
I mean, the other thing that we know Sutter has mentioned with regards to identity is clearing and protecting the front of the net.
Which, again, are you seeing that, you know, in those stats you were talking about earlier?
Rebound chances.
Yep.
Fifth in the league and slot pass chances. Fifth in the league, protecting the front of the net. Now, obviously, he's not just stressing if a guy goes there, you hurt him. Or if a guy slashes the goal, you hurt him. No, you protect it so that you prevent scoring chances first and foremost.
So they're seldom, like, again, I think against the Rangers, they had a few of these shifts. And that second period against Detroit a little bit, for sure. But they haven't been getting, like, absolutely hemmed in their own, like, you know, those long stretches where it's like, holy shit, are they going to start playing again or what? Like, there's 4 million shots right in front of the net.
Yep. So I really think that's what we're starting to see. Honestly, God, if it was an amateur like Ward, I'd be freaking out because I would know that we're playing with a house of cards here. It's just a matter of time before it crumbles. But I know this guy has set an actual tried and true foundation that this team can continue to build on. I feel pretty damn optimistic right now, but I am checking my optimism at the same time. I'm curbing my optimism at the same time.
Yeah.
Because
we've
been hurt too bad in the past.
And again, like, you got to remember, this season is probably going to be, like we've said before, a bit of a grind. There's probably going to be less ups and downs. It's not going to be like wild swings. So, I'm assuming there's going to be a few more stretches here where it's like the first two games, right? Where it's like, well, they played good, but they couldn't score, you know? So it's, I think it's still going to be a pretty baseline season, which is actually better for my emotional state than like,
yeah,
winning 18 games in a row and then sucking for 12.
And I think that's the way Sutter wants it, right? And I'm fine if you're playing good hockey to start the season, I'm fine with incremental game increases totally. Throughout the rest of the season. Like
totally,
that works for me.
Well, this is the best start they've had. They've been off to in forever, it seems, right?
Well, they, did you see that stat? They threw that other stat up there today.
Did they?
For the last 10 seasons, as far as winning percentage in the first 10 games of the season, they're the bottom four.
Yeah, big surprise.
Another week of the NFL season means another shot to win big at DraftKings Sportsbook. New customers can bet just $1 on any NFL game and win $100 in free bets if either team scores a point. If you are in Canada or Sportsbook isn't available in your state, DraftKings won't leave you empty-handed as they have great daily fantasy sports options. Everyone can play for huge cash prizes all season long with DraftKings daily fantasy sports contests. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use the promo code THPN. Throw down $1 on any NFL game and win $100 in free bets if either team scores a point. Promo code is THPN this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. You gotta be 21 years or older in New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. New customers only. There's a minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
So this is quite a refreshment.
Yeah. And again, for the small gripes, you're winning games right now and you're playing pretty okay. So I'll take that in the first six games of the season all day long.
And by the way, Mangiapane and Elias Lindholm lead the league in scoring.
Woo-wee.
Ovechkin tied them. They each have 7 goals each to lead the league. They have more Connor McDavid. More goals than Connor McDavid.
So what's the over-under on Mangiapane's dollar figure for next year?
Oh, man.
Fucking $20 million at this point? Scoring 2 goals a game.
Fuck, man. They're going to really have to shit Sean Monahan somehow, eh?
Oh, it's going to be essential.
And maybe someone takes a flyer on Lucic. I don't know, but like, how do you...
Maybe Lucic retires.
Yep, yeah, you would have to.
Yeah.
If you wanted to do us a solid, eh?
Like, how good is Mangiapane? And, like, it's funny to me that it's still like, oh, he's the breakout player. It's like Flames fans have known about this guy for 2 years. He's probably been the Flames' best player, if you really want to get down to it, on a game-to-game basis over the last 3 years. Man, he's good.
I will once again give you props. When we started this podcast, I remember doing deep dives on everybody on the team. And this was before Mangiapane. I would say last season was his breakout season, was it not?
Yeah, I would agree with that. Like, he was dynamite in 18-19. That fourth line was probably one of the best lines in the league, Ryan, Hathaway, Mange. But then the next season was really Mange's kind of like coming out party. Well, and even probably, yeah, last year is the year where he really got attention.
Well, especially playing in the,
yeah,
the World Championship. But from day one, man, I know you've been really, really high on Monge because you were pointing to all his underlying numbers. And I remember at the time I was like, look, I agree with you, but until he starts scoring goals, doesn't fucking matter what his underlyings are. But that has definitely translated. The guy, he's our Connor Garland. That's the only way.
Oh, man. I love Connor Garland, by the way. Holy shit. But Byron Bader tweeted out today. We had him on the show a couple of weeks ago just to discuss the Flames prospect pool. Byron says, according to his model, the only forward in his entire database that shares the same developmental pattern as Andrew Mangiapane is Mark Stone. So, and dude, like, honestly, Mangiapane is 100% trending in that direction of being that good.
Well,
I don't even think that's an overstatement at all.
And the guy is doing it with 10 to 12 minutes of ice per night.
Oh, gee, what? Yeah, that's one thing we got to talk about. That's very weird. I don't know what the shit's going on with that. Sure is making the most of it. Holy.
Right. Fuck, he's good. So good.
I mean, the goals he scored, that like two of the goals he scored, like the turnover against the Rangers last night, and then the just the little slot shot he had tonight in that rush, like not like grade A scoring chances, but holy shit, what a shot on both of those. Holy smokes, like it was just a rocket.
Dude, he's got four goals in the last two games. What's that stat? He hit now. What does he have now?
Because he was there's
in the last 10 games.
Oh, he has, yeah, but like he has like how many goals in the last like 16 games?
Well, I think his last 10, he has like 14 goals.
Jeez,
dude. It's unbelievable. This is at the NHL level. he's scoring, he has more goals per game. They're higher than one.
Well, somebody posted Mitch Marner's like has like what, one in his last 14. Mangiapane has like 20. It's unbelievable.
Guy's a fucking freak, dude. A freak. So let's get into let's do the Devils game. It's the freshest, right? It's gonna be at the top of everybody's mind. 5-3 win. We'll go through the game scores. Lucic opens it up with a five-hole.
Whew.
Little five-hole snipe. He learned that how to score like that on Mike Smith, eh?
Yeah, he's been practicing. He's had a lot of practice.
That's not the only time I'll mention Mike Smith during this game, but Mangiapane, what was his first goal, the snapshot? Which one was that?
It was the wrister.
He scored one. So many. I'm having a hard time.
I know, right? You're like, in 24 hours, he's got four.
It's like, so which one am I thinking of?
It was the one off the broken play, kind of, where he just like bites off three guys and just
fires it. How is he out? That guy's like twice his size. He's just like, dude, get off me. I'm firing this top shelf.
Dude.
It looked like it went off his stick, or it took a weird kind of like, it came off the stick weird. I mean, I think he got a bit lucky, but hey, you have to earn that luck, and he sure did.
Well, yeah, he's earning that space, which is like not a lot of guys can do that.
Yeah. Then the other fucking beast of a goal scorer, Elias Lindholm, scores the third goal. Power play.
2 for 3 on the power play tonight.
Okay, again, I can't remember which goal was this.
So this is Brassus Anderson, blasts one from way down.
Oh, yeah, the tip. Right, nice to see him get a power play goal, eh? And then Mangiapane with the breakaway goal. Fuck, my God, that was sexy, dude.
Listen, I know Dubé maybe hasn't had the on-ice impact results, but I'm really liking him at center. He just brings, like, more – he brings – I think it's as simple as that he brings more speed up the middle. I think he still has a lot of work to do in terms of his consistency, like, same old with Dubé, but I like him at center a lot more than I like him on the wing.
I agree, and I think if you're hearkening back to this whole theory that we're throwing out there in terms of these guys are going through a process and they're going to keep building, I think Dubé is a prime example of somebody as an individual that as the season goes on, if he's still playing with Mangiapane and he continue to better his game, and I don't know if Brett Ritchie's
just the guy. Brett Ritchie off of there. Dude, like, so Brett Ritchie makes a play in that Jersey game. Do you see that? Where he actually makes a really great, like, power move. He's got the puck in the right wing boards, and he's and again, like, for how much we shit on Richie, he actually moves okay for a big guy. And he like, who was it? The defenseman. I can't remember who it was, but he does this spin move and like fucking flattens the guy.
Oh, yeah.
And then if he just takes it to the net, he's literally all alone, but he just blows it by doing a Brett Richie shoot 400 miles wide. So he's like the guy who he has all the physical attributes that you'd want. Like, do you remember David Moss?
Yep.
Okay, no, David Moss scored like 20 Sorry, like 20 goals 1 year. Yeah. And he was actually a pretty good goal scorer, but he drove a lot of Flames fans fucking crazy. Cause it was like he had all the skills, but it's maybe like kind of a Chase on thing with these guys who have some size and some speed and some ability, but they cannot score to save their fucking lives.
It's kind of like Backlund can't score if there's a yawning. If there's a yawning cage, either it's they've pulled the goalie and the net's empty, or the goalie
net is empty.
Yeah, like how many? Like he can't hit a yawning cage.
It's like Brett Ritchie is like the opposite of Happy Gilmore. He just cannot hit the net.
So you end the first period of the 4-0, and you're just like, holy shit. This seems like a slam dunk. I don't know how you blow a 4-0 lead. Everybody's feeling pretty comfortable, I think. Jersey makes it 4-1. You're still feeling okay. Matthew Tkachuk left all alone. Great pass for Monahan on the half boards.
I feel so bad for Monahan. I feel sad for the poor guy. Like Kelly's like, oh, you know who I feel good for is Sean Monahan. I'm like, man, this is poor Monahan. This is what he's become, eh? We're just like pity. We're giving him pity when he gets an assist.
Let's spend a brief moment on Monahan because I feel like he's getting better.
Yeah, I for everybody, myself included, I have been ripping him, but he has been taking a brunt of the like, what's with this guy? This guy sucks. From the fan base.
I mean, and we talked about this in the last podcast. Given all the circumstances, you have to give him more time.
The dude couldn't bend over last year. He couldn't walk.
And he's even more so has to get up to speed from the team that's out of shape and doesn't know how to play fast under the 2 years of Jeff Ward because he was doing it while he was injured, right? Like he's used to playing even slower than the average amount of slow that this team played under. But if you look at the last three games, especially on this road trip, I think he's gotten better each game. You're starting to see some flashes where he's generating his own shit. I don't know, man. Like, I don't want to, you know, jerk Sutter off too hard on this podcast, but
why not, dude?
The guy might be onto something. Like, I think he knows what he's doing. He's getting Sean going. I'll ask you this because I did do a poll this morning asking people how many goals will Sean Monahan score this season? The number one answer, and this is 50% of the fan base, this is over just about 500 votes, 50% say between 10 to 15 goals. That's the lowest possible choice that was available. 32 say 15 to 20, 13 say 20 to 25, and 6% are smoking some good green, 25 to 30. Where do you see him fitting in? I mean, it's just, is it not just a matter of time? This guy is just a pure goal scorer. If you want to describe Sean Monahan as a hockey player, you say he's a pure goal scorer. Is it not just a matter of time till he starts scoring goals, even if it does on the fourth line?
Well, what did he have? He had a really good chance against the Rangers right in the slot. The thing is, like, he hasn't been shooting the puck very much. Like, I think he only has like 6 even strength shots this year. And
he shot the puck a few more times tonight.
So I don't know. Like you said, I think last time is like, hey, like 8 games. Like, hey, we've seen 6 games of Monahan. I don't know. Like, at the rate he's going with playing with Lucic and Lewis, like, it very much could be in the 10 to 15 range. And maybe that's all you can ask from him at this point. I don't even know. Like, Monahan, well, and you know what? Like, it's easy to say things like this when you're winning. When you're having trouble scoring goals and you're like losing 2-1, and it's like a game like the Anaheim game where it's like frustrating that you played well and you couldn't bury this stupid puck, that's when it's going to be like imperative for him to start scoring goals.
I think he's going to be around the 15.
It's really 12, a weird one, man.
12 to 16. But here's the other thing. The other way you can look at it is if the top, whatever it is, I don't know who the second line is. I really don't.
I'd say the back line.
Yeah. But if the top 9 is contributing the way they are.
Yeah. And then Monahan starts scoring.
Exactly. And then you're like, wow, he's the best fourth line center in the league. Which would be fine if he wasn't the highest paid at the same time. But I don't know. I kind of, because we're winning and everything is going right, you kind of look at it in the lens of like, okay, Sutter knows what the fuck he's doing. But I really do think Monahan is a little personal project that Daryl Sutter is working on right now.
Well, and you know Daryl likes him. Like, he's always spoken. I don't think ever, other than the other night when he was like, he needs to get up to speed. But, I mean, anytime I hear Daryl talking about him, and I mean, you know how hard it is to get Daryl to talk, like, fondly about guys.
Yeah.
A guy who scored a hat trick and be like, yeah, he fucking sucked tonight. I'm going to make him do some, I'm going to feed him to my pigs later. But I mean, like, since day one, he's been very complimentary and very supportive of Monahan, you know, in pretty much every aspect. So I think
you're Monahan, right. To me, he's still a weird one for me. I'm not on either side of the fence yet. I'm still, to me, Monahan is still very much up in the air and how, if he might be able to bounce back or not. I'm not writing him off yet.
No, me neither. And honestly, they got to get him figured out on the power play, to be perfectly honest, is what needs to happen.
Yeah. So Chucky buries the game, puts it away.
Had to get one for Keith.
Oh, Keith, bro.
Keith, hit the friggin' treadmill, bud.
Keith hit the fucking gym, bro.
Like, I'm sorry. Like, that's it. That's a fall from, like, do you remember prime Keith Kachuk? I grew up in the era where it was like,
he's like a fucking man's man. Eh? Just like fucking, why isn't he just carrying a lumberjack carrying an axe around him?
With the glow down from Kachuk, from Keith, is just embarrassing. Like, do you think Paul Kariya looks like that?
Timu? How's Timu looking?
Like, right? Like, holy shit. You'd think they're like 30 years apart if you saw them side by side today. Like Mike Medano, like all those stars. Like, geez, man, Keith, cool it, bud.
He's spending too much time with Brett Hull, eh?
Cool it, Keith. My God.
So the Devils get a couple of late ones. One's kind of a weird one where Vladar loses his strap, comes off on his helmet. And if you're Vladar, bro, have you not watched the NHL in the last four seasons? Just shake your fucking helmet off. Shake your
head, bud.
If you're not wearing a helmet, the whistle is going to blow. That's what you do. If it's bothering you, shake it off.
Have you seen Mike Smith do that on every shift?
Have you seen Mike Smith's greasy ass fucking hair? Hasn't cut his hair in 5 years. And he shakes it off, shakes his helmet off.
Looks like he works at a truck stop in Vegerville or something.
Vladar's keeping it nice and fresh though, eh? The dude.
He looks good. I was just gonna say the Devils uniforms are terrible. I didn't want to go down this road, but I just popped into my head. Like, it looks like some candy cane, just bad design, really bad. Don't like it.
All I know is when it comes to uniforms,
holy shit.
Those white retros, dude.
Oh man.
Like, I have a hard time not.
Those are the best. I know.
No, I have a hard time not getting a boner from those.
Like, it's unreal. Like, I'm not like obsessed with jerseys like a lot of weirdos are, but like every time you watch them, you're just like, whew.
There's gonna be so good. There's gonna be some offense taken to that last comment. I hope you know.
Yeah, I know. Cool it on your jersey obsession, guys.
That's not me. Don't come at me on Twitter, everybody. This is not me.
Hey, I brought up the jersey discussion, so talking out of both sides of my mouth.
So the top performers, let's let you take that away. That's your stat you like to post after the game, but somebody's trending up.
Old Rass Daddy. And I mean, I think that is kind of a quiet thing, even quiet enough for me to be like, oh yeah, I forgot. Rasmus Anderson's actually playing pretty good hockey this season.
He has the highest game score of all Flames tonight.
He gets the goal.
He got a goal?
I guess he got the assist.
Yeah. I mean, usually when you have the highest game score, either you fucking have a shutout or you score two, three goals. But Rasmus Anderson does it very quietly, like you said.
I was curious to see how he was going to play in both these games against speedier teams. Rangers have a lot of speed. And there was a few instances against the Rangers where he got exposed a little bit. But I've been pretty impressed with Matt Rasmus' ability. He's been playing a ton. Like, he led the team in ice again tonight, like 24 minutes.
Honestly, you love to see it, man. And we talk about this pressure cooker, right?
Pressure cooker. And boy, does it ever take a load off Chris Tanev, who, like, man, that was our number one concern going into this season was like, how's that blue line going to respond? Like, because it's going to be relying heavily on Tanev. So being able to take a load off poor Chris Tanev sure helps. So
spend a second on Oliver Shillington, because from the eyeball test, the fans are falling in love with him more and more. Let us know how his underlings have fared out in the four games that he's played.
Dude, he's been great. And I mean, I think what is hilarious? Is it hilarious? Is it intriguing? Is it eye-opening? Like, the difference between the numbers of, because the beginning of the season, a lot of people were like, oh man, Tanev is like, right? Like Tanev and Zadorov were getting creamed. And it's like, man, Tanev's numbers have not been good. But you look at the difference between how he's played with Shillington, like it's been night and day. So the stats, not including tonight's game, have been very positive for Shillington. He's fourth on this team in expected goals for percentage at 60.84 at 5-on-5. Wow. He is rocking a 63, and everybody's Corsi numbers are pretty good because that's the way Sutter plays.
Yep.
But his possession numbers are third best on the team behind only Backlund and Coleman. He's been good, man. He's been really good. And I mean, even his shots for, he's in the 70% in terms of his shot share. And I mean, like, honestly, like, if you've watched him, right, like, you know, we can break down the numbers all we want, but he's been good. He's been in the rush. He's been fast. I'm sure he's made a few mistakes, a few bad penalties, maybe a few stick infractions, but I mean, he has been so solid in a pretty much top / second pairing role
for a guy that's played 8 NHL games in the last couple.
Well, seasons. The Flames posted today. Let's look at their post. Congratulations to Shillington on playing his 100th game. It's like it's been 5 years and he's only played 100 games. But yeah, Kent posted this morning. It's like in 4 games, Tanev and Shillington have a 59.17 expected goals for percentage at 5-on-5, as opposed to Zadorov and Tanev, 2 games, 25%.
Wow.
Whew.
Wow.
Big difference. Huge difference.
Massive difference. And I mean, all, like, this is a predicament now, is it not? If you're Daryl Sutter, and you know he does look at analytics, I don't know how much he stakes his roster on them, but you cannot deny that the pairing of Tanev and Shillington has been miles better than when Tanev was playing with
miles better
with Zadorov. So now what do you do? You got Zadorov sitting in the press box. How much longer does he sit in the press box while you have Gabranson playing and fucking amazing? He's started to level off a bit, I know.
Yeah, rough last couple games for sure.
And Valimaki's looking better the last 2 games. He's in a predicament. What's he going to do?
Well, I think with Daryl, he's not changing much when they're winning. Don't you agree?
Well, especially on a road trip, yeah.
Yeah. You know what, man? I just love these Sutter road trips. Little trip down memory lane, but I was just talking to somebody today, and I was like, who's a younger listener and like on Instagram. I was like, man, like, you think this is like, because everybody's feeling pretty good right now, right? You know, won 4 games in a row on the road. Is like, just if you could, if you weren't alive or like weren't a fan back in 2004, when it was like they'd be on the road and it was like they opened the San Jose series, like the Western Conference final on the road in San Jose, and we're just unbelievable.
So good.
Just like so good on the road.
They couldn't win at home until like late in that series. I think it was the clincher was.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. They lost. I think the home team lost every game in that series until game 6, but man, just like, it's just, I was having some flashbacks to those old Sutter road games. But yeah, I don't think you can put Zadorov in. Honestly, like, I think the next move would be, because I know Daryl likes righty-lefty and he likes pairs of guys. So I would say probably maybe Stone in for Gudbranson at some point in the next little while here. But I don't know who you'd take out for Zadorov at this point.
Weird predicament. And like we said, he's what, your second, third highest paid D-man, eh?
I think fourth.
Oh, behind Noah, too, yeah.
Hanifin, Ras, Tanev.
So I don't know, man. It's a really weird thing. Do you sock him away until somebody gets injured because you need another body there? I mean, I guess you could trade him, but like,
please trade him. Please trade him and get Jack Eichel still.
Apparently. Apparently Vegas is, he's going to Vegas, that you heard.
It seems to be the front runner, which is what I've been saying all along, but whatever.
Vegas is in a weird situation. They were saying they're last in the division currently. They're missing Pacioretty and Stone. If they do make the trade for Eichel, what do they give up for him? And Eichel's not even available for how long?
Yeah, he's got to get surgery.
So I don't even know if that's the smartest move. They need help.
I don't give a shit. Let Vegas do whatever they want.
Fuck, I hate Vegas.
Yeah, me too.
All right, so your biggest, just spend a sec on this. You this thing you post with the game score. Tell us what this is measuring, because your three big uptrenders, Rasmus Anderson, Noah Hanifin, Milan Lucic, and then your top three for the game tonight itself are Anderson, Mangiapane, Hanifin with Dubé, and Sean Monahan right there in the top six.
Boy, Sean. Yeah, so game score is just, it's a pretty standard metric, and that's why I kind of like to use it for, like, people who don't like when I rely too heavily on, like more advanced metrics and expected goals and stuff. So essentially just weigh, it's like a single game productivity. Players given ratings using an algorithm that weights position, on ice impact, actual scoring metrics, goals and assists. There is an expected goal metric in there, but there's also things like blocks, penalty differential, if your centerman faceoff wins. So it just is like a weighted average of single game productivity. So it just kind of shows who put in a really good game on any given night.
Who left their stamp on the game.
Yeah.
So Rasmus Anderson was your top performer tonight. The game report for tonight, New Jersey outshoots the Flames 30-29. But they're chasing all game. I mean, you don't
read too much into these games, right? Yeah, there was probably a score effect.
Yeah. The Flames go 2-for-3 on the power play?
What?
Who? The Flames?
Who scored the power play goal? Who?
Who's scoring power play goals?
Makes a big difference, man.
New Jersey has won, so what? That's 4 straight games doing the special teams, and you win all those games.
And, yo, I know the Flames have been scored against a bit on the penalty kill. I think maybe a bit unlucky, but is it just me or are you loving the penalty kill?
Oh, it's excellent. I mean, it was really good under center last season. Still good. Still good.
Like it's a joy. It is a joy for me. One of my pleasures in life is to watch Andrew Mangiapane kill penalties.
Dude, how this Blake Coleman guy is really growing on me fast.
Holy dude, there's two guys I'm in love with right now. And more so Coleman, because, like, man, he's just so good.
How is he so fast? He's like sneaky fast. He doesn't look fast at all.
And like,
you look at a guy like Dubé or Point, you're like, wow, yeah, totally. That guy's fast. Coleman, he doesn't look fast, but he's just like way faster than everybody else.
Remember at the 2018-2019 trade deadline when the Lightning did trade for him? And there was some talk the Flames were sniffing around. And I remember we were both kind of like, I don't know. Like, he's probably okay, but would you give up a first-round pick? And I remember even when the Lightning traded a first-round pick for him, everybody was like, geez, that's a steep price. But, man, he's just so good at hockey. It's just fun to watch him play. And we'll get into a couple of his shifts. I thought, obviously, the Backlund group had a great game against New York, and I thought they had some good shifts against Washington. But the other guy I'm really liking, and he's becoming like a – he's reminding me of, like, a guy, like, in 2004 again, or, like, back in the Saturdays, who's, like, sneaky – just really good.
Billy Niemann?
Yeah, Niemann or like Sean Donovan or like even like Chris Clark or Marcus Nielsen, where it's like every time they're on the ice, you know what you're getting. Totally solid. And it's Tyler Pitlick. Like, he's becoming like my secret favorite.
Yeah, he's kind of like the new Derek Ryan, eh?
Totally. He's just like every time he's on the ice, he's just fast, physical, makes smart plays with the puck, creates turnovers. And yeah, it's been 4 games. I should cool it. Yeah, but cool it. Jeez, I see his weird little face, he looks like he's 12.
Yeah,
he does. I'm like, oh, good for you, Pitlick.
That line is really starting to come into form.
Oh, totally. Like, they were fantastic against the Rangers.
So to finish off the game report, 47 shot attempts to New Jersey's 42, 22 scoring chances to New Jersey's 19, 4 high dangers to New Jersey's 3, and then you take the expected goals. Share 42.5% to their 47.5. So you, I don't know. Did you expect to win them here? I was assuming.
Yeah, the Flame. Yeah, they had it. It was like 80-70% or something. The Flames on the old deserve a win a meter. I mean, tonight you get up.
They
early.
Kicked their ass.
They kicked their ass, and the score effect was kind of real. Like, right, like the Devils aren't going to be. They're going to be pressing when they're down so much. So. Yeah, they destroyed them for 47 minutes, probably.
Let's go shift gears over to the Rangers game. This is where Coleman just fuck.
Oh, man.
Breakout game for Blake Coleman here. Scores his third and second and third. He's got 3 goals now, right? Scores his second and third that game.
Did he score 2 goals? No. Doesn't he only have 2?
Yeah. What? He had 2 goals.
No. I think Manji had 2. Bunch had right. two. Yeah, I don't remember.
It was Backlund got the other
one. Backlund got the other one, yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, I mean, that Rangers game, like, there was a pivotal moment when the Rangers score. And then the Coleman Backlund Pitlick unit comes out and puts together a Daryl Sutter dream shift that.
Yep.
Because
response.
Yeah. Because I mean, again, how many times have you seen this as a Flames fan, right? Our PTSD is like, as soon as New York scored, I was like, God damn it, we're probably going to blow this.
Now we're sitting on edge again. Third period.
It's like, shit, I don't like, we got to win it. Like, come on, guys. Just like, please. And then that Coleman unit comes out and puts together like one of the best shifts I've seen all season. And they score that goal. And it was game over. And I mean, that, I think that's really what you're getting in with Blake Coleman. Not only is he just a really good hockey player, but he's just so solid and a guy you can depend on in situations like that. And
that was a sick backhand. How many? Have we seen a backhand
goal? No.
I think Mangiapane had one last year, but that backhand goal since Dubé. Have you seen a backhand shelf goal since?
Yeah, I was going to say Johnny has his five hole backhand, but no, man. Like that was great. And that's like the forecheck, right? Like that's all that goal is all Pitlick's forecheck. And then an unbelievable finish by Coleman.
Tanev opens the scoring. That was a beautiful goal.
That was sweet.
Johnny Gaudreau is just, dude.
Dude, he's so
good. He has no goals, but he has all his assists are like, they're not even just primary assists. They're like, I'm going to set you up so you can score, and then the guy scores.
He may as well be scoring the goal himself.
Right?
Yeah.
Fuck, he is playing so well right now. Just want to give that guy a little love, as usual. Right?
Well, and that's the thing too, right? And again, I'm trying not to, but it's we're in a good spot right now. But like, if that's what you can expect from, you know, and like, if you can have that Pitlick, not even if it's Pitlick, but Coleman and Backlund seem to be the pairing they're liking. If you can have them be what they're showing they can be, and be kind of like the Gord Coleman line in Tampa Bay, where they are the destroyer of worlds. It's like they're going to erase everything else.
Yep,
that's the term that's been used about that Coleman Gord Gaudreau line, was like they were erasers. They nullify a lot of what the other team are trying to do, and then they score goals. And then you have Gaudreau playing the way he's playing.
Dude, like, I think
that's going to be such a tactical advantage for the Flames this year.
And I think you'll see Backlund needs to be playing with talent, dude.
Yeah, it appears that way, right? Like, it totally, like, because, right? Like, I mean, even the first few games of the season, we're like, fucking Backlund sucks again.
Well, we were ripping into him the last podcast, but I did say, he stinks for five, then he's good for three. So let's see. Maybe Coleman can get him going on an actual consistent basis here.
And yo, that Backlund rush goal.
Okay, well let's do chronological.
All right, I'm sorry, it's too good.
Mangiapane scores the second goal, comes off. This guy does everything.
Dude, he's unreal.
Creates a turnover. He's like a diluted down version of Pavel Datsyuk.
Totally, that's what he is, man. Like, somebody texts me is like, he's like Marner, but good. It's actually a pretty good description.
So he intercepts the pass, does a quick little pivot, and then the way he drives the net on one foot.
Slingshot.
And he's like, so it's weirdly deceptive. He's not like he's not flashy. This guy's not flashy.
Uh-uh.
He's meat and potatoes, but deceptive meat and potatoes.
It's like meat and potatoes that you eat it and you're like, fuck, are these good? Why don't I eat this every meal?
Right. And then you forget about it until you have the next time. Like, why has it been 6 months since I had that meat and potatoes? It's so good. So anyways, he dings one off. Was it off the post? I mean, he just snipes it far
side. Oh, it's a wicked shot, dude.
Unbelievable. Okay, now let's fast forward. You got the back. The Rangers score, get the Coleman goal. Now Backlund comes down. That's his that's the patented Backlund move.
Yeah. You knew he was going to do it. Everybody saw him, knew that was happening too, eh?
Yeah. Boy, he had a lot of room, eh?
Holy shit.
And fuck, did he snipe that?
Yo, we got to quickly talk about Markstrom too, because like, he saved them in that second period, like hardcore.
Oh yeah, he was.
There was like an 8 minute stretch where he made like four or five unreal saves.
Okay, here's what I want to say about Markstrom, because this is what you always say. If you have a goalie that you're going to go out and pay $6 million for, he has to make those saves. And that's what we're seeing him doing to start off the season. He's only played three games, but
four games.
In the last two games, you've seen it. In the first two games, you didn't. And you were even saying, where are those saves? He's got to make that save on Puljujärvi. He's got to make some sort of acrobatic, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, he's got to steal a goal away. He's doing that now.
Yeah, he's doing that, which, like, he made that save. It was a rebound save. I don't remember who the Rangers player was, but it was incredible.
Yeah, it was down and out. Fucking
yeah.
And the same thing against Detroit, too.
Oh, yeah. He's, again, if you let the Oilers have those second periods, you probably lose. So he really, those second periods by Markstrom were imperative in this winning streak.
Markstrom was actually the first star of the game. Did you know that?
In the New York game?
Yeah. I'm seeing it here now on the NHL app.
He was pretty damn good.
He was excellent.
Because, like, the Rangers had, like, what? They outchanced the Flames in terms of high danger, like, 15-7 in that game. So he had to be good.
And Mangiapane gets his second goal of the game to keep his tally going late in the game. But Blake Coleman is the top performer.
Yeah, that was a picture perfect game from Blake Coleman.
Eight shots, his 5-on-5
goals. Eight shots.
His expected goals
for us. Fuck me.
57.75 goal and assist. Fuck, that line's looking good. The overall breakdown for that game, shots were 37-29 for Calgary. You win the special teams again. Calgary goes 1-for-2.
Crazy.
Rangers go 0-for-2. Shot attempts 54-48 Calgary. Scoring chances 30-26. But the Rangers had 15 high danger to their 7.
Yeah, that second period was not a great showing from the Flames.
And I will say, watching a guy with the amount of skill that Artemi Panarin has,
oof,
boy, does that make me lust after a guy like Jack.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, exactly. It's like, again, like we were just talking about, it's like, this is all fine and good when we're winning, but it's like when we're losing like 2-1, 1-3 games and we can't score, that's when you're going to be like, man, I wish we had Eichel. Fuck.
Let's cap off the last three games of this road trip review. Because we haven't even got to Elias Lindholm yet in the game that he put on. Oh, man. If you were to pick one player out of these three games, and there's been some fucking studs, I would have to say the individual performance that Elias Lindholm put together against the Capitals takes the cake.
Oh, totally. You love what Coleman did against the Rangers. You love how Monge played tonight. You love what Markstrom did against the Rangers. But, I mean, that Lindholm performance against Washington, like, that's a Jerome McGinley special right there, bro.
Dude, that fucking goal where he strips John Carlson of the puck, just goes full beast mode. Give me that puck, John. Strips him. Dangles. Goes bar down. I love Johnny after the game, eh? He's getting the classic, oh, could you describe Lindholm's goal? Oh, yeah, did pretty much everything. You know, comes down and sends the D-man back to the gym and then comes down, deeks the goalie out, goes bar down. I mean, Lindholm's cracking up, eh? Oh, Gio lives on.
Yeah, that made me a little sad.
Yeah, I think Gio scored that night too.
Yeah.
So fuck, man, was he good?
Gio scored, and I'm still not over it. By the way,
tonight or
the other night? The Kraken actually looked pretty shitty.
Yeah, I'm glad. I'm happy about it. I don't want anybody in our division to win games. No. But let's break down the Caps game real quick.
11 o'clock. We were both surprised that Vladar got the start too, right? Like, I thought for sure Markstrom was starting.
Yeah, we did touch on it, but fuck. I love the ball. I love the set of balls on this coach, don't you? Dude, I'm going to do whatever the fuck I want and however the fuck I want to do it.
Well, plus, and then Francis asked him about it after the game. He's like, oh, did you look at Vladar's stats against Washington? Last time he played, it lost 7-1. And Gerald's like, yeah, I actually told him he was starting 2 days ago. Have you looked at Markstrom's stats against Washington yet, dweeb?
So Mangiapane opens the scoring. God, it's nice having watching a team that's actually prepared to play the game.
Right?
Do you remember how watching a season and a half under Jeff Ward? It's just like, holy fuck, man. When did these guys, the first period, you'd be getting outshot 20-2 on a regular, consistent basis.
And then it was like scramble all game. It's like, well, I guess they kind of started to show up in the last 5 minutes of the game.
I guess they kind of made a game of it. They almost tied it up.
Like, if that alone, right? Like, I'll take great starts and then lulls in the second period all day long over getting destroyed in the first and playing catch up all game.
Fuck. I agree. Okay, Mangiapane scores a power play goal. This is when I think Darryl had enough of PP1. So he started going with PP2. And that was the one in tight where he buries a rebound.
Yeah, I got to say, I mean, Coleman was great, and I'm still pretty perturbed that he's not on the second power play unit in Lucic's stead. And my takeaway from that goal is like, shit, Lucic has earned himself another 20 games on the second power play unit.
Yeah, exactly. Lindholm's first goal is a wrist shot. I don't know. I can't remember. There's been so many Lindholm goals. I can't even keep tabs.
You remember it's what Johnny sets him up right in the slot, baby.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. This is dirty. This is where Johnny has it behind the net for like 5 seconds. And then you're just watching. You see Johnny and you see Lindholm. And you're like, oh, look at that. He's getting open. Oh, no. A guy came to him. He collapsed him. But then Johnny takes the puck back behind the net a little bit. Oh, Lindholm's getting open again. There is bang. Back
yeah, the like such a heads up play by Gaudreau, right? Because I don't think most guys would force that to Lindholm ASAP. Johnny knew what was going on. He's like, hey, I'm going to take a minute to get set, make sure Lindholm's set, make sure everything's open up. And then, but I mean, like the shot too by Lindholm, right? Like perfectly placed. This guy can snipe.
Fuck. This was the moment that I tweeted. This was the moment for me. It was just like, Johnny has a new Monty. It's official.
And poor Monahan sitting on the bench. Like I said, it used to be me. It used to be me.
Lindholm's second goal. We already talked about it. Unbelievable. And then the Caps tied up in the second. I did not like the third goal specifically. You have Rasmus Anderson. He decides to play a partial 2-on-1 by pivoting away from Alex Ovechkin. He turns his back to him. It's like, what are you doing? Pivot towards the puck carrier, especially when that puck carrier is the greatest goal scorer of all time. All time.
Dude, just like, so Lindholm and Mangiapane currently sit atop the NHL goal scoring leader with Alex Ovechkin. Ovechkin's going to catch Gretzky, dude.
Oh, 100% he is, dude.
And I can't wait.
I'm all for it, dude. I'm cheering this guy around so hard. I fucking love this guy.
I've always loved Ovi. I hope he does it. So, like, it's one of the only players outside the Flames I'll pull for hard. But, I mean, is the dude slowing down? He's 36 and he has 7 goals and 12 points in 6 games.
Right on usual pace, eh?
God slow down. Damn.
We can laugh about it because the Flames win in overtime. Another feed from Johnny to Lindholm. Here's my thing. Oh, yeah, the Calgary Flames have, you know, 2 of the top scorers in the league. When has that ever happened before? One's Elias Lindholm. One's Andrew Mangiapane. Elias Lindholm plays with Johnny Gaudreau. Every single one of his goals has been a pass from Johnny Gaudreau.
Every single one of his goals has been put on a platter by Johnny Gaudreau, pretty much, other than the shorthanded goal.
Yes, he's burying him, but still, a platter from Johnny Gaudreau. Power play time. Meanwhile, on the flip side, you got Andrew Mangiapane. Who's passing the puck to him? No one. Nobody.
Brett Ritchie, bro.
Brett Ritchie. He's playing PP2. He's playing 10 minutes a night. Who leads the league in scoring playing 10 minutes a night?
Like, he has the best goals to minutes played ratio in the league by a friggin' mile, I'm sure.
He's setting a fucking record right now.
Like, I don't understand why he's playing so little. Like, I get Darryl likes to roll 4 lines and stuff, but it's very odd. That he like the in the against was it against Detroit? Who was it against? It was Washington. They played like, yeah. Mangiapane had like the lowest ice time among forwards, other than Richie and Dubé. It's like, why?
Yeah, why?
I don't get it.
I mean, it's hard. when you're winning, when you're on a winning streak, it's hard to, you know, to get too mad about it, but fuck, he's got to fix that, especially when he's scoring two goals a game.
Exactly. Yeah, like the forward deployment has been a bit odd for sure.
Somebody made a funny, I saw that come through on Instagram where someone's like, they're trying to reduce his minutes so they can hold off paying him.
Yeah,
they're trying to slow down his breakout season. Let's play him. Like, can we still play him 5 minutes less a game?
Brad's just scoring like, too many goals. The guy's going to score 50 goals this year. Please, Daryl, play him less.
So Lindholm is the star performer in the Washington Capitals game.
No shit.
I think across the board, I mean, that's the best one-game performance we've seen all season.
Oh, for right? sure. For sure. For sure. And I mean, I would maybe throw Coleman and Markstrom played really well against the Rangers too. So I'll maybe throw those in there too, just because of like the importance of what Blake Coleman's line did against the Rangers, where it was like, they were blowing it. And then he was like, no, we're not losing this game type shit. But yeah, that was an incredible game from Lindholm.
The game report looks like this. 27-25 are the shots for Calgary. Calgary wins the special teams again.
Interesting how that works out, eh?
Interesting. Wasn't it the last podcast we're saying you gotta start winning the special teams if you want to fucking make the playoffs? Mm. They've won the special teams, they've won all four games. I'm surprised you kept Washington off. They had four power plays. Sure, Daryl said this after the game. The power penalty kill was good, but Washington, they weren't on top of the ball. So, but partly because of Calgary. But shot attempts were 46-44 for the Caps. 20-18 were the scoring chances for the Caps. 9-4 were the high danger for the Caps. And the Caps took the expected goals share 69-31.
Yeah, again. All of this was buttressed, propped up by a really bad second period where the Flames allowed five high danger chances and didn't get one at 5-on-5. They shut it down pretty hard and played a Daryl Sutter third period, like super low event. And I was going to say, like, the first really great shift I saw from Blake Coleman was in that Capitals game. It was towards the end of the game, tie game. Like, probably if you're Daryl, it's like, just get the point. We need this point. And Coleman and Backlund came out and put together like a coach's dream shift where they just like got the puck in the zone, kept it in the zone for a while, got off the ice. It was great. It was a great shift.
That wraps up the game reviews. As a whole, where are you at? I think we touched on it. We spent some time on it to open it up, but close us out on this. Where are you at as a whole? I know we did say it's too early to get too amped up. Where are you at and who's your MVP through the first five?
I don't want to say I'm moderately surprised, but I'd way rather be in a position where we have won four straight, are 4-1-1, are second in the division, and have played like probably 65-70% of 100 really good hockey with some work to do, as opposed to being like, even if we were 4-1-1, it's like, holy shit, we shouldn't have won any of those games. It's like, we just got super lucky. It's like, we've seen enough good things that I'm feeling pretty good. I still think there's some work to do, specifically in terms of,
creating offense. Oh, no, the process. This is the process. It's already paid off. The season's turned around.
And, I mean, they got to get this shit figured out in, like, the second period where they have, like, totally dipped for, like, large stretches of time, like 10, 15 minutes. And I think we can be concerned with the lack of scoring outside of two guys right now, because they're not going to be, Lindholm's not going to be scoring a hat trick every night. Mangiapane's not going to be scoring two goals every night. So I think you can be a little bit concerned. It was good to see Tkachuk get on the board tonight and actually look pretty good.
Yeah. That's the one player that has kind of faded away with Lindholm scoring all these goals from Johnny. And I mean, you sit there and you say, well, those guys, that's a deadly combo. And then you have Tkachuk in the mix. It's just a matter of time. Kachuk's been playing good hockey. He just hasn't been getting the results on the scoreboard.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm not surprised. I'm moderately positive, and I'd much rather be 4-1-1 with some work to do than 4-1-1 with, like, holy shit. Like, I can see this going off the rails real quick. So I'm just trusting Sutter.
Who's your MVP through six games here?
I mean, it has to be. I would like to say Lindholm, but I mean, like, Gaudreau has just been. I want to say Gaudreau or Coleman, really. Like, because Lindholm doesn't score most of those goals without just great, straight up great plays from Johnny Gaudreau. So that's like a lot of your offense. I think it's probably Mangiapane or Gaudreau.
It's funny because I did a poll before tonight's game asking who's the MVP through five. And by far and away, Lindholm finished first with 65% of the votes. This is 400 votes. Johnny was third with 12. Mangiapane was second in 21%, 10 of 2% of the votes. But if I was to re-ask this question after six games, because I would probably have to say it was Lindholm after five. Just a slight edge over Mangiapane, but after six games, after scoring two more goals tonight, yeah. For me, Mangiapane is the most valuable player on this team through six games, especially if you're looking at, we touched on it, given the role he's asked and what he's doing inside of that role, give him a bigger role. Fuck.
Yeah, the like, other. There's got to be a place for him. Like, again, I've really liked Pitlick's game, but I mean, you want to really have a line? You want to really have a beefed up set? That line would be one of the best in the league. And I mean, we talked about it when Coleman was signed, like being excited about the possibility of a Backlund, Coleman, Mangiapane line. Oh, man.
Yeah. But I don't know. Like,
you don't.
To our detriment, I think in the last two seasons, we relied too much on two lines. And obviously, it's working currently.
Yeah.
We'll see if it continues to work. But I think Daryl's strategy here is he wants to roll four lines. And he wants to be able to, you know, have those top three lines all contributing. If you load up the top six, I don't know how much the third line can contribute. That's been a bit of a problem.
Well, and the thing, I think you saw tonight really pay off. And I mean, again, they kind of, like the Devils, like let the Devils get into it a bit, but like they didn't look tired in the third period.
No, right? on a back-to-back
on an Eastern road trip. Like that's the benefit of playing four lines. And you know, like Daryl talks about conditioning, being in fucking shape pays off.
Oh, we're just gonna play fucking music at practice.
Like, remember when you brought it up game against Dallas when Lindholm has a mental breakdown. How many mental breakdowns have you seen? Probably due to the fact that nobody on this team has been in proper shape for the past year and a half.
Yeah.
No mental breakdowns in the last minute of the last four games.
All right, let's close it out with this. Like we've mentioned, a lot of the goals have come from a select few players, select handful here. Yet to have goals, have scored a goal yet is Johnny Gaudreau, Sean Monahan, Dylan Dubé, and Tyler Pitlick, amongst others. But if I was to ask you who's going to score their first goal of the season first, who are you going to say it's going to be?
Probably Pitlick. No, Johnny's going to get one on this Eastern swing. He'll get one in Pittsburgh.
Okay. The poll is Johnny is 56%, Monty 12. Monty's still getting some love, which is good to see. Dubé 16, Pitlick 16. Who else doesn't have a goal yet? Anderson.
Lewis. Old Lewis.
Yeah. Anderson, Gabranson, Hannifin, Shillington, Valimaki, Richie, Zadorov, Lewis, and Godin. I think those four that we talked about are your – maybe they don't. But if you're going to go from those four, I'm going to go ahead and say fucking – it's either Monahan or Dubé for me. Fuck it, I'll go Monahan. Monahan scores.
Man, I hope so, dude. Like, he needs – I feel like Sean's actually, like – I don't know if he's, like – if he struggles with, like, confidence, but I feel like secondhand, like, pity for him, you know? It's like he had that chance against the Rangers and he couldn't bear it. I was like, fuck. Come on, Sean, please. It's like even Kelly. He was like, I feel good for Monahan getting that assist there. It's like, man, the poor fucking guy, dude.
He's starting to turn it around. He's starting to get some chances. Yeah, I'll go Sean.
I'm just like, all I right now, what I'm hoping for most is like a classic 10-game Monahan heater where it's like, is this guy going to stop scoring or what?
Yep. He's hot or he's cold.
Always been streaky.
Now, the problem is he doesn't have Joe Dish. Yeah, I mean, he's playing with fucking Lewis and Lucic. But I, strangely enough to say this, but Lucic and him are starting to develop some chemistry. I'm not even kidding.
No, all right. They've been finding each other a little bit.
Yeah. All right. We got when are we set to record again once they get back home, right?
I think we'll do one on Friday. When do they play? They don't play tomorrow. They play
the Penguins.
The Penguins on Thursday.
And then Philly on Saturday. So we're recording Sunday.
Yeah.
So we'll see how they it's that the dreaded first game after a long road trip. Apparently is always really hard. So we'll see how they close things out in Pittsburgh, and hopefully they can keep the streak alive. And then we'll see what happens when they host the Flyers on Saturday. Is that Hockey Night in Canada?
Oh, it's got to be.
Yeah, it looks like it is.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.